says that he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And what was darkened?
¿Qué se oscureció, dice?
The sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. These false doctrines. Let me ask you a question.
Una pregunta, okay?
Number one, who does the sun symbolize?
¿A quién representa el sol?
It symbolizes Christ.
Simboliza a Cristo.
That's why Lucifer is trying to usurp Christ by calling himself the sun god. Jesus is the sun is a symbol of the life-giving power of Jesus Christ.
El sol es un símbolo del poder que da vida.
We are not to worship the sun,
no tenemos que adorar al sol,
nor to keep the pagan sun day.
Y a guardar el día
we are to, sábado, we are to worship Christ, who is the day star that will rise in our hearts. So this religion darkens Christ. It obscures Christ. But let me ask you a question.
Una pregunta.
If the sun is darkened, what are the only things you can see in the star, the sky, if the sun's gone? The moon and stars. What is the symbol of Islam? The moon and stars.
La luna y la estrella.
Isn't that interesting?
Como la profecía.
So here we have, in Bible symbol,
aquí en el simbolismo de
these
la...
locusts,
estas langostas,
with the sun, with the moon and star, darkness as their symbol of religion.
Como pactan esto, como el símbolo
de... And their power is in their tail with the prophet that teaches lies.
Y su poder está en la cola con su profeta que enseña mentiras.
Now let's continue on with the symbols.
Vamos a continuar con los
I'm going to try to move as quickly as I can so I can at least get this done so we can do the third woe this afternoon, okay?
Voy a tratar de terminar esto para dar el último...
You don't mind buckling your seatbelts and just hanging on a little bit longer, do you?
Agarrochense el cinturón.
Okay, you're not tired yet, are you?
Yeah.
All right. You're tired? You gonna be okay?
Oh, we're okay.
All right. His brain is working overtime, going from English to Spanish. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, we just ask and pray that you please pour out your spirit upon the rest of our lecture this morning and help us to understand and give us strength and energy. And bless my brother in Christ as well to give him power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In the book of Revelation, chapters 8 through 11, we have a message relating to the seven trumpets. The last three trumpets are called woe trumpets. We already read this right here. I'm just reading up on the screen. We already read verse 8:13. I beheld and heard an angel flying to the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Now the Bible teaches right here,
la Biblia enseña aquí.
Number one, the first four trumpets brings down Rome. The last three introduces a religion of darkness.
La primera derrumba Roma.
I'm going to go through these slides quite quickly. I'm not going to look at every single one because there's a lot right here.
Hay mucho aquí, pero voy a pasarme.
The western part of the former Roman Empire has been brought down in the first four trumpets. First four trumpets brought down Rome in the west.
Las primeras cuatro derrumban a Roma en el oeste.
No longer an emperor in the throne in the city of Rome anymore. Instead, the bishop of Rome, the pope, is now sitting on the throne and rules the church and the government.
Ahora el papa reina en ese lugar.
So fifth and sixth trumpet now brings attacks on eastern Rome, and the Roman Empire is going to be destroyed completely. All right, we continue on. Now we look at Muhammad. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 says that a star falls from heaven to earth. What does a star symbolize again? Angel or a messenger. So this, is this a true messenger or a fallen messenger? Fallen from heaven. Same symbol as Lucifer almost. You know that Lucifer also used his tail to sweep a third of the stars? This religion is inspired by the same spirit, the same angel. Same deception to a tail. Same falling star.
La misma estrella que cae.
This is dealing with the false messenger Muhammad.
Habla del,
so,
falso, Muhammad.
Let's go through this now. The fifth trumpet begins with this fallen star arriving on the scene.
La sexta trompeta, empieza con la estrella que cae.
622 AD, we see Muhammad on the scene teaching his new false religion.
El año 622 empieza Muhammad a enseñar su falsa religión.
By the year 628 AD,
por el año 628 después de Cristo,
we have what was called the Battle of Nineveh.
Tenemos la batalla de Nineveh, se llama así.
Nineveh was a battle between the ancient Persian, not Medo-Persian, but Persian Empire and Rome in the east.
Era la batalla entre Persia, no la Persia antigua, sino Persia y Roma en el este.
Up until this time, the Arabs were simply roving bands of shepherds and not really even a military power.
Hasta este tiempo no era un poder militar grande, nada más eran
the teachings of Muhammad were the teachings that would solidify these people into a military religious power.
La enseñanza de Mohammed fue la que solidificó a ellos como un poder militar.
In 628, the kingdom of Persia fought a battle with Rome in the east and lost.
En el año 628, Roma peleó contra los árabes en el este y perdió.
These were powers that were contending for the Saudi Arabian Peninsula and the area of the east.
Estaban contendiendo por ganar la península de Saudi Arabia.
This battle benefited the Arab people. And I'll tell you why.
Esta batalla benefició a los árabes.
Because Persia lost.
Porque Persia perdió.
And Rome was greatly weakened in their military power.
Y Roma se debilitó bastante.
And they had to pull back many of their troops and allow this area that was formerly Arab, Arabs were there, to be controlled now by these Arabic people.
Lo que pasó, sacaron a su ejército porque ya eran muy pocos. Y los árabes se tomaron posesión de este lugar.
This was a key that helped to unlock a bottomless pit.
Esa fue la llave que se habla ahí, que abrió el abismo que se habla.
Now we look at the fifth trumpet, the star falling from heaven.
Vemos la estrella que cayó del cielo.
And we see that the star equals an angel or a messenger.
Vemos que la estrella es un ángel o un mensajero.
This is a fallen star, a religious messenger, but a fallen or a false religious messenger.
Es una estrella caída, un falso mensajero.
Now we're going to continue on here because I want to move on.
Okay, quiero continuar.
Now I want to look at what this says from William S. Davis, A Short History of the Near East, page 100. A lot of history I'm going to bring out right now.
Okay, mucha historia para entender mejor.
A historian of the Near East, without a thought of the Bible, this Bible prediction, when he described the rise of Muhammad, used language very similar to that of the fifth trumpet. Writing of the inspirer of the desert tribes of Arabia, he declared, at that juncture, however, like a meteorite. Now, what is a meteorite?
Es un meteorito.
It's a falling star, right?
Estrella caída.
So like a meteorite, like a falling star, from the blue came into the world a new religion. A religion primarily of power and not of love. A militant fanaticism, appealing to the evil which lies in men and only partly to the good. And so even the history says that this religion was like a falling star, a meteorite. From Edward Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, he says this: the Arabs had languished in poverty and contempt until Muhammad breathed into those savage hordes the soul of enthusiasm. Coming from Schlegel, the philosophy of history, there broke out among the nations of Asia that mighty conflagration whose flames were scattered over the terrified globe by the sons of the desert, guided by their new prophet of unbelief. Now we continue on with all this history. Notice that the Quran actually says that Muhammad has a key.
Vean que el Corán dice que Mohammed tiene una llave también.
When we read this, you'll notice the mind that's behind this religion right here.
Vean la mente que está detrás de esta religión.
Did Muhammad actually possess a key? It is significant to notice that Piran, in his essay on this question, says this: the Quran, that is the Muslim Bible, continually speaks of the key of God which opened to them the gates of the world and of religion. So in the Quran, here's what the Quran actually says.
Lo que el Corán dice.
Did not God give to his legate, to Muhammad, the power of heaven which is above and fire which is beneath? Heaven and hell. With the key, did he not give him the title and power of a porter? A doorkeeper. He opens and shuts doors. That he may open to those whom he shall have chosen. It's a false Christ.
Es un falso Cristo, lo que él habla aquí es.
You know, the Pope also claims to have a key as well.
¿Saben que el Papa dice que también tiene las llaves?
The same demonic mind behind both religions. Satánica. Now, many of the people are deceived and deluded. They have no idea.
Mucha gente ni sabe lo que está.
Satan is deceiving the multitudes.
Satanás engaña todo el mundo.
And the Bible teaches that they're like locusts upon the earth.
Enseña que son langostas sobre la tierra.
There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. The Bible employs a locust as a symbol of the Arab. I want to just go ahead and translate little by little. The Bible describes the locust as a symbol of the Arab.
La Biblia describe a los árabes como los langostas que hablamos.
Speaking of the Midianite Arabs, we already read this right here. They came as grasshoppers, for locusts, for multitude. Midianites and Amalekites were Arab tribes. They lay along the valley like grasshoppers or locusts for multitude. Now notice this history by Forster concerning the Arabs. In the Bedouin, you know, Bedouins are Arabs. Anyone heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls before? The Dead Sea Scrolls were found in Qumran by a Bedouin shepherd boy, okay? In the Bedouin romance of Antar, the locust is introduced as the national emblem of the Ishmaelites. Isn't that interesting? Coming from the book Mohammedanism Unveiled, volume 1, 217. Pretty interesting. Edward Gibbon, quoting Volney, the most judicious of our Syrian travelers, declared, "The inhabitants of Syria have remarked that locusts come constantly from the desert of Arabia." Now, here's a famous traveler of the last century named Niebuhr, in his journeys through Arabia, described the appearance of the swarms of locusts. I want you to notice what he says that the locusts look like, all right?
Quiero que vean lo que aparece, lo que se ven los las langostas.
Coming from Niebuhr Travels, volume 2, page 337. "The swarms of these insects darken the air and appear at a distance like clouds of
smoke.
Very interesting. There it is.
Ahí están las langostas, como se ven, como humo que sale.
It's another picture right there of an Arab man walking through a swarm of locusts. How would you like to have a garden around that area? There it is, looking like clouds of smoke. You see that in the air?
Como nubes de humo.
There's some more. Now here's a map. I'm not sure if anyone can see this map or not very clearly.
Hay un mapa.
On the top,
en la parte arriba,
this is the range of the desert locusts, okay? From northern Africa up into Portugal and all the way across into India. That's the range of the desert locusts. You see this?
Eso es donde están las langostas, desde Portugal hasta el norte de África.
On the bottom, the bottom map is with the lines that are going to the right.
Con las líneas que van así al lado perpendicular.
That's the spread of Islam during the time of the Saracens and the Turks.
Es como se esparcieron los árabes en el tiempo de los turcos.
The lines going up and down are the Christian areas. You see, the Christian area is pretty much in Europe.
Las líneas que se van de arriba abajo son los cristianos arriba.
And the Muslims cover almost the exact same range as the locust. Isn't that interesting?
Y los musulmanes cubren el mismo espacio que las langostas.
Northern Africa up into Portugal and all the way down to the side of India.
De Portugal hasta la India, prácticamente.
Now it talks about Muhammad was alike instructed to preach and to fight, and the union of these opposite qualities contributed to his success. His voice invited, listen to what this says, his voice invited the Arabs to freedom and victory, to arms and to rapine, that means rape, to the indulgence of their darling passions in this world and the next. You know that they are still guaranteed to pretty much just go to heaven and have a bunch of parties, you know, with a bunch of virgins, a bunch of wine and women. Hey, who doesn't want to be a Muslim and die in battle, right? If you're unconverted.
En el cielo, mujeres, vino y mucha fiesta. Es lo que se les promete al que muere peleando.
Now I want to show you that it says that the Quran teaches that the only way for a Muslim to go to heaven is to die in battle. Okay?
Y les va a enseñar que la única manera de llegar al cielo es en la pelea.
From all sides, the roving Arabs were allured to the standard of religion and plunder. The apostles sanctified the license of embracing the female captives as their wives or concubines. The more people they kill, they can just take all their wives.
Más gente mataba, más esposas tenían. Now
here's what he says. The sword, says Muhammad, the sword is the key of heaven and of hell.
De que la espada es la llave del cielo y del cielo.
A drop of blood shed in the cause of God, a night spent in arms, is of more avail than 2 months of fasting or prayer. Whosoever falls in battle, his sins are forgiven. See this?
Amen.
At the day of judgment, his wounds shall be resplendent as vermilion and odoriferous as musk, and the loss of his limbs shall be supplied by angels and cherubim. The intrepid souls of the Arabs were fired with enthusiasm. The picture of the invisible world was strongly painted on their imagination, and the death, which they had always despised, became an object of hope and desire. We continue on now with this right here. Yet they were not allowed to hurt those with the seal of God. Remember that?
Dijeron que no hirieran a los que tenían el sello.
It was. We have just a little bit longer to go. Let me try to wrap this, to go get through this. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now we continue on right here. Now let's notice the decree of Abu Bakr. Anyone know who this man is? Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was the first caliph, the friend, father-in-law, and the successor of Muhammad. He was probably Muhammad's first convert outside of the Prophet's family, and alone accompanied Muhammad on the Hajira, which was the holy journey to Mecca and also to Medina. The marriage of Abu Bakr's daughter Aisha to Muhammad made the ties even stronger. On the Prophet's death in 632, it says, Umar secured Abu Bakr's election over the tribal chiefs and Ali. And he was the one that helped Islam to spread to being a world religion. Now, why do you notice what his decree says? Notice that Abu Bakr said to not hurt, number one, the literal trees, but also to protect Christians.
Él habló de proteger a los cristianos, también Abu Bakr.
Can everyone read that okay right there? Is it decent? Is it hard, straining your eyes? Abu Bakr was the successor of Muhammad. Now notice what Abu Bakr says. Edward Gibbon puts this in his book.
Lo escribe en su libro.
As soon as their numbers were complete, Abu Bakr ascended the hill, reviewed the men, the horses, the arms, and poured forth the fervent prayer for the success of their undertaking. Remember, said he, said the successor of the Prophet, that you are always in the presence of God, on the verge of death, in the assurance of judgment and the hope of paradise. Avoid injustice and oppression. Consult with your brethren and study to preserve the love and confidence of your troops. When you fight the battles of the Lord, acquit yourselves like men without turning your backs. But let not your victory be stained with the blood of women and of children. Destroy no palm trees, nor burn any field of corn. Cut down no fruit trees, nor do any mischief to cattle, only such as you kill to eat. When you make a covenant, stand to it and be as good as your word. Now notice this part right here. As you go on, you will find some religious persons who live retired in monasteries and propose themselves to serve God that way. Let them alone and neither kill them nor destroy their monastery. Now let me explain something very quickly here. Today we have been educated to believe that monasteries were only associated with monks.
Hoy pensamos, se nos ha enseñado que los monasterios para los monjes nada más.
In the old world, monasteries were simply schools, places of study, retired places to study scripture.
En el pasado, los monasterios era para ir a estudiar.
We're going to find out that he was not dealing with the monks.
Él no hablaba de los monjes.
He's dealing with the Christians that were studying the word of God in their schools.
Él habla de los cristianos que estudiaban la Biblia en sus escuelas.
Notice what he says about the monks.
Vean lo que dice de los monjes aquí.
And you will find another sort of people that belong to the synagogue of Satan, who have shaven crowns. Those are the monks. Be sure you cleave their skulls. That doesn't sound very good. And give them no quarter till they either turn Mohammedans or pay tribute. Here are the shaven crowns. Gibbon says in the 7th century, the monks were generally laymen. They wore their hair long and disheveled and shaved their heads when they were ordained priests. The circular tonsure, the tonsure is where they put that little round thing on their head back there, was sacred and mysterious. They believed it was the crown of thorns, but it was likewise a royal diadem, and every priest was a king. So there's some pictures right there of the shaven crown. You see that? That's called the tonsure.
La tonsura, right? Se llama.
These were the monks that had shaven crowns.
Los monjes que tenían esa corona, según.
There's a picture of, actually, matter of fact, Martin Luther on the left. He actually was a monk.
Martin Lutero ahí.
And there he is. They're cutting hair. So these were the monks. And so those studying in schools in the wilderness, scripture, were protected, while those that were monks of the synagogue of Satan were killed. Do you got that?
Monjes fueron destruidos y los que estudiaban la Biblia, los hijos de...
How many of you ever heard of this book right here? Truth Triumphant by G.B. Wilkinson. B.G. Wilkinson. I want you to notice what he says about the Church of the East. In the early centuries of the Christian era, the Church of the East, not the Western or Latin Church, this was sometimes called the Assyrian Church, sometimes the Nestorian Church, who were observers of the true Sabbath, very effectively spread throughout Asia and the East, but remained separate from the Church in the West, especially the apostasy. Now, I want to explain this very easily in Spanish, that the Church of the East,
la Iglesia del Este,
were true Sabbath keepers,
eran verdaderos guardadores del
and they stayed separate from the Church of the West in Rome. Rome,
y se mantuvieron separados de la iglesia del Papa,
where the papacy was rising.
Donde se estaba levantando.
Now notice what these true Sabbath-keeping Christians did according to this historian.
Vean lo que los verdaderos guardadores del sábado
hacían. Look at this right here.
Vean esto.
These true Christians became the teachers of the Saracens.
Se hicieron los maestros de los sarazanos.
Who were the Saracens?
¿Quiénes eran ellos?
The Muslims.
Los musulmanes.
So true Sabbath-keeping Christians actually taught the Saracens. You know, they helped to give them their language as well. Look, and they were responsible for establishing an educational system in Syria, Mesopotamia, Turkestan, Tibet, China, India, Ceylon, and other areas. Isn't that interesting? Any wonder why they protected those with the seal of God?
Ya vemos por qué protegían a los hijos de Dios.
When the Arabian Empire was fully established, it built up Baghdad, its magnificent new capital. The Church of the East removed its spiritual capital from Seleucia to Baghdad, where it remained for approximately the next 500 years. Isn't that interesting right there? So where was the true church being kept?
¿Dónde estaba la iglesia en ese tiempo?
In Baghdad?
En Bagdad.
To his Christian subjects, Muhammad readily granted the security of their persons, the freedom of their trade, the property of their goods, and the toleration of their worship. Let me explain something very quickly, friends.
Quiero explicarles algo rápido.
Did you know that the only Christians that can truly reach Muslims?
¿Saben que los únicos que pueden alcanzar a los musulmanes? Cristianos, la única gente cristiana,
are Seventh-day Adventists.
Son los adventistas del séptimo día,
that live up to what we believe.
Que viven la verdad que tienen.
You want to know why?
¿Saben por qué?
Because Muslims hate,
porque ellos odian los musulmanes,
Western Christians. They absolutely despise Western Christianity.
Los aborrecen.
Because they associate the Western culture with the Western religion.
Porque aborrecen la cultura occidental.
Listen, brothers and also sisters.
Escuchen, hermanos.
When Muslims see naked women in bikinis,
cuando los musulmanes ven a las mujeres desnudas en bikinis,
and short skirts,
y faldas cortas,
and low-cut tops,
y la parte de arriba,
and tight pants,
y pantalones,
and makeup and jewelry,
y el maquillaje y las joyas,
they see Christians as a bunch of profligate, immoral prostitutes.
Ellos las ven como prostitutas inmorales.
I'm not being mean, that's what they believe.
No estoy diciendo porque
they say these Americans are immoral.
Estos americanos son inmorales.
They let their women walk around naked.
Dejan que sus mujeres caminen.
They have all these affairs. Look at all the television. This is disgusting.
Todo lo que pasa en la televisión es
They sit around, drink alcohol, and sleep with women. That's what they think. Not only that, do they think that Americans drink alcohol and sleep with women, but they bow down to idols.
Y que también se agachan a los ídolos.
That's the Catholic Christianity.
Esa es la iglesia católica o cristianismo católico.
The only Christians that can truly have an inroad to Muslims to try to convert them,
los únicos que pueden tener poder para convertirlos,
are Christians that don't drink alcohol,
es cristianos que no toman alcohol,
that don't eat unclean food like pork,
que no comen puerco,
their women are reserved and wear long dresses and cover their body,
que las mujeres cubren bien sus cuerpos,
not long dresses that are tight, long dresses that cover your body.
No.
Amen.
No,
sisters, they walk around like this. Your dress is so tight you can't even move your legs. Amen. And also Christians that do not keep the pagan Sunday, but they keep the Sabbath. That is true Seventh-day Adventism.
Esos verdaderos guardadores del sábado, adventistas.
Don't you know that Jesus has raised up Islam to actually protect you right now?
¿Saben que Jesús levantó el Islam para protegerte a ti y a mí?
While they're having war with the armies of Rome,
mientras tengan guerra entre las fuerzas de Roma,
they're ignoring you and I.
Te están ignorando a ti y a mí.
That we might get the seal of God.
Para que tengamos el sello de Dios.
For 5 months they were tormented.
5 meses fueron atormentados.
Now let's go ahead and talk about this.
Vamos a terminar esto.
Let's move on past all this. How long is the 5 months?
¿Cuánto es los cinco meses que hablan la profecía de Daniel, de Apocalipsis 9?
You know, some people get mad at me when I talk about, you know, dress and stuff like that.
Mucha gente se enoja conmigo cuando hablo de la forma de vestir.
I think I'm being judgmental.
Que estoy juzgando.
No, because men are just as his fault.
Porque los hombres también tienen muchas faltas.
Not as much with the way you dress.
No tanto de la forma en cómo se visten.
But men encourage it.
Pero los hombres animan que se vistan así.
You like it.
Les gusta.
Why do you let your wife dress that way?
¿Por qué dejas que tu esposa
Why do you let your daughter dress that way?
O tu hija se vista así?
Why do you look around all the girls?
¿Por qué ves hasta las muchachas?
Drool. I'm not kidding around, brothers and sisters. And the churches are messed up.
Las iglesias están torcidas.
And God, I'm sorry, I can't take any questions or comments, but God is asking you and I to hold up the standards, brothers and sisters, to come up higher. We need to come a lot higher as Christians, because a lot of this sensualism that's in the churches today and flirting is not going to the kingdom of God. Do you understand this, brothers and sisters? We need to be different, holy people, straight-laced, peculiar people. You know, we have a little girl.
Yo tengo una hija.
We refuse to take our little girl into some stores.
No queremos llevarla a ninguna tienda.
Because all around is just paraded all of this low standard of what it truly means to be a woman.
Amen. Porque se enseña
let me explain something to you. I have a burden for this.
Como mujer.
Satan is teaching our young girls
Satanás enseña a nuestras niñas
that the most beautiful thing to be is to be a prostitute.
Que lo mejor que puede haber es
to walk around and prance around and be able to attract a bunch of men. That is not the spirit of the true church. That is the spirit of Jezebel. And then you get mad when your little girl runs off and sleeps around. Women have fallen through pride, vanity, and different areas of appetite, but vanity is a big one for women. And men fell into sin by choosing a woman, Eve, instead of God. Did you just get what I just said?
Yes.
Eve chose something she could eat that looked pretty and that could make her wise, and she listened to the voice of the serpent. And to this day, women are still listening to the voice of the serpent by doing what? By their wisdom and pride, looking at girls. None of you get along. You know that? I can meet a brother for the first time in my life, and hey, we get along just fine. Hey brother, how you doing? Good. You okay? Amen. All right. Women don't get along. Admit it.
Amen.
You see each other?
Se ven así, las mujeres. Camina así para el otro lado.
Yes or no?
Sí o no?
She thinks she's all that.
Ella piensa que es mucho, ¿verdad?
Honey, you didn't even talk to her.
Ni siquiera me habló.
Pride?
Orgullo?
Appetite, always worrying about your figure? And she saw that the tree was beautiful to the eyes. Anything to make her more pretty. And so you paint your hair, you paint your face, you paint your nails, you paint your toes, you paint just about anything. And while women listen to the serpent, men listen to the woman.
Ask the truth.
Lord, I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to stay faithful to God. Adam. Okay, God. And he chose that woman before God. Not only did he choose a woman, brothers and sisters, not only did he choose a woman, but in the beginning, God had Adam and Eve clothed in beautiful garments of light. They were not buck naked running around. All these little, you got to be careful what pictures you teach your children, brothers and sisters. Showing Adam and Eve, you know, they have them in the garden with little leaves covering them over. And it's putting in their mind that for children to look at the shapes of men and women. You shouldn't be doing that. Adam and Eve were made in the image of God. I'm already off my subject, so let me just finish this one up. We're going to have to do part two on this one. Go to Psalm 104, brothers and sisters. You don't mind, do you? You know what I found out? I find out that whenever I talk about men and women in a relationship, every eye just goes boop, and they pop open.
Cuando hablo de hombres y mujeres, siempre los ojos se despiertan.
Then I'll tell you why, because God knows our human nature.
Porque Dios sabe nuestra naturaleza.
And if we can know where we've fallen,
y si sabe dónde hemos caído,
if we can know where we struggle,
y si sabe dónde hemos batallado,
then we can carefully guard ourselves in those areas and thus get closer to God.
Podemos guardarnos de estas cosas y acercarnos más a Dios.
So let me just go ahead and wrap this. You mind if we do this part number two after lunch? Is that all right?
Está bien, si hacemos
okay.
Esto,
so look, after lunch, we'll deal with the time prophecies, okay? The 5 months and the hour, the day, the month, the year. We'll deal with the time prophecies.
Vamos a lidiar con la profecía de tiempo.
And we'll show clearly that Islam is a part of the woes.
All
right. So let me finish this up, and then we'll go eat, and we'll take a break, and come back after lunch. Amen. Go to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. The Bible says, let's pick it up in beginning in verse 1. Psalm 104 in verse 1. When you get there, please let me know by saying amen. Psalm 104 verse 1. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed." He's clothed with something. He's clothed with what?
Se cubre de qué?
Honor and majesty. Now let me ask you a question. Was Adam and Eve clothed with honor and majesty when they were made?
Yes. Adam, yes. Cubridos de honor y honestidad.
Notice what else God is clothed with in verse 2.
Vean de qué más está vestido
it Dios. Says, God, who covereth thyself with what?
Light
as with a garment. So what is God wearing? God is wearing a garment of light. So bright that you can't even see it unless you cease to exist. And so when Adam and Eve were made,
cuando Adán y Eva fueron hechos,
whose image were they made in?
¿A qué imagen fueron hechos?
God's image,
a la imagen de
which
Dios.
Means that they were clothed with honor and majesty,
que fueron vestidos
and they were clothed de with a garment of light.
Fueron vestidos de esa luz que Dios tenía.
You understand that?
Okay.
Go to Genesis chapter 3 now.
Vamos a Génesis capítulo 3.
Let's wrap this up.
Para terminar.
Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that Adam and Eve sinned.
La Biblia dice que necesitas que ellos pecaron.
Who sinned first?
¿Quién pecó primero?
Satan.
Talking about out of Adam and Eve.
Eve.
Eva. It's a good answer though. Satan did sin first. But in the human family, Eve was the one who was deceived. The man was not deceived. He knew what he was doing.
El hombre no fue engañado, fue la mujer.
And that's why today, far more women go to church than men. You know that?
¿Y saben por qué hoy en día más mujeres van a la iglesia que los hombres?
Because women tend to be deceived, and then oftentimes they have a child, and something clicks in them, and they want to start coming back to church.
Si a veces las muchachas tienen un niño y quieren ir a la iglesia para.
And they come and say, Lord, I was deceived. Lord, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. Women tend to be more faithful in coming to church than men.
Las mujeres tienden a ser más fieles que los hombres para venir a la iglesia.
Men know what they're doing.
Los hombres saben lo que están.
They just say, no, I don't want to go.
Los hombres, ¿sabes qué? No, no me interesa.
I don't want anything to do with God.
No quiero saber nada de Dios.
They make conscious choices not to serve God.
Hacen decisiones conscientes de no.
Now notice Genesis chapter 3. Let's just come down here to verse 1. Are we all there? Amen. Genesis 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, not to the man, he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And I believe that he was singing to her in a musical voice. He probably sounded like, you know, Barry Manilow or somebody like that. Or maybe, what's that Spanish brother's name? Enrique Iglesias. Saw those old CDs in your house, man. Amen. Past life.
Past life.
Suave.
No, that's not it.
Singing with the smooth voice. Deceiving the women while they go, woo!
Engañando a las mujeres.
It's not really not funny either, brothers and sisters.
Chistoso.
You know, we need to really guard what we watch.
Amen.
And what we read.
Amen.
And what we listen to.
Amen.
You know, I go to airports all the time and I go to the bookstores. Try to find some kind of news, something I can look at. And they have this whole section of novels that are specifically designed for women. You know what I'm talking about? They got these long-haired, broad-chested men. Right? And they're holding the woman, and it's just all this romantic false stuff. And here's what happens, brothers and sisters. Women, oftentimes the men is at work. Listen what I'm saying. Come on, this is real. Because some of you in here have some marital problems. Please translate that, brother. Some of you have some marital problems in this room.
Tienen problemas maritales, problemas entre ellos.
And a lot of it is because men and women are allowing wrong things to be in their mind.
Es porque los hombres y las mujeres están dejando que cosas malas.
Women, while the husbands are gone, are watching these novelas, these soap operas,
y mientras el esposo va a trabajar, la mujer
and reading these books,
la basura, y leyendo libros,
and painting a picture of the perfect man
y están viendo una imagen del
that will sweep them off their feet.
Que los va a levantar,
and take them away from all their dishes and away from their laundry
y las va a sacar y llevar de
and rescue them from their children and take them off into the sunset where they don't have to do anything except be loved.
Y las va a llevar a guardar, a estar descansando.
And they're always big, strong, buff men.
Hombres grandes, fuertes.
And then
y después,
Jose comes home.
Después Jose viene a la casa.
And he's been working hard. He's got grease under his fingernails. And maybe he's a good guy. Maybe he loves the Lord. And he's got a little pot belly. And he comes home and the woman has this big picture of handsome. And it's just Jose. He just comes home. And the woman hasn't showered that day. The dishes aren't done.
Los platos no se han lavado.
The children run crazy.
Los niños están corriendo aquí.
Let me be honest with you, brothers and sisters. I don't care how much you hate me. The Hispanic culture needs to control their children more.
En la cultura latina se controla más a los niños.
Amen.
Okay, amen.
I'm Latino.
Soy Latino
so
yo.
Don't get mad at me.
No se enojen.
Your children are out of control oftentimes.
Sus hijos están fuera de control.
I preach in Asian churches.
Yo predico en,
I preach in black churches.
Asiáticas, negras.
I preach in white churches.
Iglesias de blanco.
And I preach in Hispanic churches.
Iglesias latinas.
And by far, the culture of Hispanics lets their children just go crazy.
Y por más de todas,
I'm serious.
Latinos dejan que sus hijos hagan
where were we eating? We were just eating yesterday, right? It was soup plantation for lunch, right?
Estamos comiendo
we're right there trying to enjoy a nice salad.
Estamos comiendo ahí una,
and there's a family right next to us.
Y una familia aquí al lado.
And the children are screaming and they're getting down, they're crawling under the table and they're yelling. And I'm like, man, aren't the parents paying attention? The parents did not even once look at the children.
Y los papás ni siquiera
they're like just, the father just talking right here and maybe he just went like, hey, cállate.
Y los papás aquí comiendo, diciendo, nada más, cállate.
We need to have control of our children, brothers and sisters.
Tenemos que tener control de nuestros hijos.
And it's not a Hispanic problem.
Y no es nada más de los latinos.
It's not a black problem or a white problem or an Asian problem. It's a sin problem.
Es un problema del pecado.
And the devil is trying to get a hold of all of our children, no matter what race they are.
Y Satanás quiere agarrar a tus hijos, no importa qué raza sean.
We need to raise our children according to the fear and admonition of the Lord.
Tenemos que levantar a nuestros hijos en el temor de Dios.
Women, you need to buckle down.
Hombres necesitan abrocharse.
And put a stiff upper lip.
Levantarse.
And pray to Jesus.
Y orar a Jesús.
And say, Lord, give me the courage to raise my children as Christians.
Dame el valor para levantar mis hijos.
Women have been given a high and lofty and holy duty to shape and mold the characters of your precious flock.
Amen.
A la mujer se le ha dado el sagrado o cargo de cuidar y levantar a sus hijos en el temor de Dios.
When you look at the great men of God in the Bible,
cuando ven a los hombres grandes de la Biblia,
they were raised by their mothers.
Fueron criados por sus madres.
Jesus was taught by his mother.
Jesús fue creado y levantado por su madre.
Daniel was taught the prophecies by his mother.
Daniel le fue enseñado la profecía por su mamá también.
Jochebed taught Moses that he was going to be a deliverer.
Jochebed enseñó a Moisés que él iba a ser el libertador.
Samuel was taught to be faithful by Hannah, his mother.
Samuel fue enseñado por su madre Ana de que iba a ser un gran profeta.
Women, God is calling you to raise your children to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world.
Mujeres, Dios los llama a levantar a sus hijos para que sean la sal del mundo.
And men,
y hombres,
you need to grow up and stop being irresponsible and go home and spend some time with your family. Amen. Because without the father in the home, without the priest raising up the sacrifice, without the husband being there, the word husband is called house band. You hold the family together. And if you're not there, brothers, If you're not there,
si tú no estás ahí, hermano,
the devil comes in
el Satanás viene,
and he eats up your children.
Y él viene y se come a tus
and he attacks your wife.
Y ataca a tu esposa,
and he discourages her.
Y la desanima.
And little girls
y las niñas,
that never had a good father
que nunca ha tenido un buen padre,
tend to get in relationships before they should.
Empiezan a tener relaciones antes.
Little boys that never had a father
los niños que no han tenido un
tend
padre,
to hang out with people on the streets.
Empiezan a andar con la gente en la calle.
How many of you, to be honest, how many of you are boys like that? I was.
Yo también.
I didn't have a father in the home. My father was, you know, that old story, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And there's several of us from different mothers from my one father. Sleeping around, popping out children. Genesis chapter 3, let's wrap up.
Genesis 3, para terminar.
Don't you, brothers and sisters, do you believe that God wants to save you?
Yes. ¿Creen que Dios quiere salvarlos?
Does God love us?
Yes. ¿Dios nos ama o no?
He only rebukes us because he loves and wants to heal us.
Él nos reprende porque quiere ayudarnos.
Genesis 3, let's close.
Genesis 3, para cerrar.
You want to know why she listened to the voice of the serpent?
¿Saben por qué escuchó la voz de la serpiente?
Because the husband wasn't around.
Porque el esposo no estaba ahí.
She wandered away.
Ella se fue del lado de él.
But the point is that the husband wasn't there.
El punto ahí es de que el esposo no estaba ahí.
Husbands,
esposos,
guard your flock.
Cuiden a su rebaño.
Lest your wives begin listening to the voice of another man.
No sea que las mujeres empiecen a escuchar, tu mujer empieza a escuchar la voz de otro hombre.
You know, I'm a pastor.
Si ven, yo soy un pastor.
And there's oftentimes,
y muchas veces,
women try to tell me their problems.
Las mujeres me quieren decir sus problemas.
I say, whoops.
Y me dice, ¿sabes? Yo le digo, ¿sabes?
I say, you know what? That's a danger signal right there.
Eso es una señal muy, muy mal.
Whenever I'm somewhere,
donde, cuando seas
by the grace of God, I always try to make sure that people are present.
Me quiero asegurar de que los estén juntos.
Or try to stay separate.
O yo separarme.
Or to be very courteous.
O ser muy cortés.
And yet hold the distance.
Y mantener la distancia.
Because otherwise, if you don't do that, men,
porque si no haces eso, tú, como hombre,
you can be the voice of the serpent.
Tú mismo puedes ser la voz de la...
And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of this garden, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent began to sing, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now notice verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's appetite, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, that's vanity, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's pride, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also to her husband with her, and he did what? Eat. Now verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons. Now look at, friends, we're about to wrap up with prayer. What happened when they sinned?
¿Qué pasó cuando pecaron?
The light went out.
La luz se desvaneció.
Their garments of light disappeared.
Sus ropas de luz desaparecieron.
And they saw that they were naked.
Y vieron que estaban desnudos.
Question.
La pregunta,
who sinned first?
¿Quién pecó primero?
Eve sinned first.
Eva pecó primero.
Who lost her clothes first?
¿Quién perdió sus ropas primero?
Listen to what I'm saying, brothers.
Escuchen lo que estoy hablando.
Who lost the garment of light first?
¿Quién perdió su ropa de luz primero?
You can infer it that it was Eve. So Adam,
Eva,
Adam,
Adán,
chose a woman before God.
A la mujer antes que a Dios.
He chose a naked woman before God.
Escogió una mujer desnuda antes que a Dios.
Men,
hombres, tú,
what's men's problem?
¿Cuál es el problema del hombre hoy?
It's women.
Es la mujer.
Especially naked women.
Especialmente desnudas.
And that's why there's all this pornography.
Y es por eso que hay mucha
and all this filth.
Toda esta basura.
And all these billboards.
Todas estas
and all these cartas. Beer look things with women in bathing suits and on and on and on it goes.
Y todo lo que se ve.
Women, dress yourselves appropriately.
Mujeres.
And men, guard your mind.
Hombres, guarden su mente.
Jesus needs to heal families, brothers and sisters.
Jesús quiere aliviar la familia.
And the burden on my heart as we prepare to pray,
y el cargo en mi corazón es este,
is we may be learning all about prophecy. It may be very interesting.
Podemos aprender tantas cosas de profecía,
and our homes are messed up.
Y nuestras casas son un desastre.
How many of you desire to have Christ heal you?
¿Cuántos desean que Cristo los alivie, los ayude?
Jesus needs to do some serious healing in our lives.
Amen. Cristo necesita hacer mucho trabajo en nuestras vidas.
Jesus is coming back the second time for a pure people.
Él viene la segunda vez por un pueblo limpio.
For a people that have it together, brothers and sisters, amen.
Por un pueblo que está preparado.
I'm not the example, I'm still working on it.
Yo no
soy the grace and God, help of God, amen.
Estoy trabajando con la ayuda de Dios también.
I, I'm sure like you, am striving
yo
to hit the standard.
Estoy luchando para llegar al estándar.
That standard is Christ.
Y ese estándar es Cristo mismo.
And today, friends, this afternoon, as we prepare to pray, I want to make an appeal.
Quiero hacer un llamado en esta tarde antes de cerrar.
As your heads are bowed and as your eyes are closed.
Si agachan tu cabeza y sus ojos si lo cierran.
If God has spoken to your heart today,
si Dios ha hablado a tu corazón en esta tarde,
this appeal is not to have you stand if you understand prophecy. I know you've been understanding.
Esto no es para ver si entendiste la profecía.
This appeal is for those of you who have been convicted that you need to come higher in your walks.
Es para aquellos que han sido convencidos de que tienen que levantar el estándar en tu vida.
So as not to embarrass anyone here this morning,
no es para apenar a nadie en esta
God knows your heart.
Dios conoce tu corazón.
And if you have been convicted about any of those areas that I've already mentioned,
y si tú has sido convencido de estas áreas que hablé ahora,
there have been different things that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you.
Hay varias cosas que el Espíritu te ha revelado a ti.
It may be in the area of your mind, your thoughts, your fashion, whatever it may be.
Cualquier cosa que sea en tu vida.
The Lord has been speaking to you to say, son, daughter, give me your heart. And I want to ask for those that are courageous enough to stand for Christ and to ask the Lord for forgiveness and for help to come higher. I'm going to ask that you would come forward for prayer as we kneel together to ask Jesus to forgive us and to heal us. Nobody's looking around, friends. We're looking at our hearts. Some of you have been deeply convicted that there are areas of your life that you need to change. Some of your homes are in crisis.
Muchos de los hogares están en crisis aquí.
There are some husbands and wives that don't even like each other.
Hay esposos y esposas que no se quieren en sí.
There are children that are in the world.
Hay hijos que están en el mundo.
Or that are out of control in their behavior.
Que están fuera de control en su forma de ser.
But brothers and sisters, whatever your need is,
y hermano y hermana, cualquier necesidad que tengas,
we all have the same need, and that is for Christ and His righteousness and His power.
Tenemos la misma necesidad en Cristo y su justicia.
So come forward at this time if you are desiring to kneel in prayer for special prayer, special help, special power to overcome.
Si quieres ese poder especial, esa ayuda especial, ven.
While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, it may be that there are families here that may want to kneel together as a family to ask for His strength and help in your home.
Si quieren llamar a su familia para que estén unidos aquí orando para pedir por esa ayuda que necesitan.
There may be parents and children that need to be reconciled. There are husbands and wives that need to grow closer together.
Hay papás y esposos y esposas e hijos e hijas que necesitan reconciliarse, juntarse.
Why don't you humble yourself, humble your pride, and come and kneel with your spouse or your children even now?
Humíllate en esta mañana y ven con tu esposo, tu esposa para pedir la ayuda de Dios.
Some of the war that's in our hearts is not going to enter into the kingdom of God.
Mucho de lo que está en nuestro corazón no va a entrar en el reino de Dios.
Our Heavenly Father, as we prepare to lift up prayer to Thee,
Padre, como nos preparamos a tener una palabra de oración,
I just ask and pray that if there are anyone else in the seats that need to come forward for special prayer, have them come.
Que si hay alguna otra persona que necesita venir y orar, que por favor se levante y venga.
You said that You, the High and Lofty One, dwell, who inhabited the eternity, dwell in the high and holy place with him that is a humble and a contrite heart.
Señor, tú has hablado que tú que moras en la eternidad, en la altura de los cielos, también moras con el que es humilde y contrito de corazón.
So right now, Lord, we kneel before thee, not high and lifted up with a stiff neck.
Padre, nos arrodillamos a ti, no con un cuello levantado.
We come, Lord, humbled and broken.
Venimos humillados y quebrantados.
And dear God, we are in need of help.
Necesitamos tu ayuda.
We need Jesus
a Jesús
to be the same healer that He was 2,000 years ago.
Ser el mismo sanador que fue 2,000 años atrás.
To speak to hurting broken hearts even today and to be healed.
Que hable a nuestros corazones dolientes para que nos sanen.
We pray that You will raise people from their spiritual death. We pray that you would open up blind eyes that they may see. Help spouses and children that are not here today to come to the foot of the cross. We pray for our families and our homes that you would save them and heal them. But most of all, Lord, we pray for our own hearts.
Y te oramos en particular por nuestro corazón.
Forgive us of our sins.
Perdona nuestros pecados.
Wash us clean with thy precious blood.
Lávanos con tu preciosa sangre.
Clothe us with the spotless garment of your righteousness.
Vístenos de la justicia de Cristo.
Breathe upon us your Holy Spirit to give us life and power to live a holy life.
Danos a tu Espíritu Santo para poder vivir una vida santa.
Help us to be the people of God that will be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We want to thank you for the promise to hear and answer these prayers.
Te damos gracias por la promesa de escuchar y contestar las oraciones.
Please bless us the rest of this day.
Por favor, bendícenos el resto del día.
Bless and pour out your Spirit upon the Word of God.
Por favor, derrama tu espíritu sobre tu palabra.
And unlock our minds to continue to understand prophecy throughout this day.
Y por favor, abre nuestras mentes a las profecías para entenderlas.
This is our prayer in Jesus' holy and worthy name.
Esta es nuestra oración en el nombre precioso de Cristo Jesús.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated as we have a closing song.
Pueden sentarse. Vamos a tener un último himno.
Excuse me. Sorry. Excuse me.